Scripture reading today is taken from Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 11. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for the invitation to be here. You know, whenever you go to visit a congregation, there's all different ways people welcome you. Sometimes they put a sign on the marquee up front, and it'll say gospel meeting or VBS, and they'll have the preacher's name, and you'll have your name in the bulletin. But I tell you, this morning, I had the most unique welcome I've ever had in my 30-plus years of preaching. I'm in the bathroom. So there you go. There's always going to be something going on there. Brother Jackson and I are in the bathroom. All of a sudden, four or five of my little boys come in. Got some ties on, bow ties, looking sharp, and they're all just standing there in the line. Brother Jackson said, oh, we're in trouble now. What are you guys up to? And he said, we came in to say hi to Mr. Paul. So I've never been greeted in the bathroom. I said, how you doing, guys? I said, doing fine. Are you going to run around and pick guys up? I said, well, tonight, they were worried. They were going to come sit down front. They want me to pick them up. But they're back there. See you guys? There they are. They're waving to me. I got five guys love me. The rest of you can go. It's all right. I got five guys that love me. And, you know, a lot of times when you go to a place, the first time you go and you preach, and then the second time they invite you, this is my rule. Either they love you or they haven't figured you out yet. They're giving you one more chance. But when you've been coming to a place for over 20 years, and I don't believe in all my preaching that there's a congregation that I've gone to for more meetings and so forth. There isn't one, I'm sure, than the Concord Church. Over 20 years, I tell you, I truly feel that y'all love me because I love y'all. It is really special to come. And you know what? I'm kind of nervous. Don Bassett was the man who baptized me. And Don's been here many times and just one of the finest men I know. And I said, Brother Bassett, I said, do you ever get nervous when you get up to preach? Because he's preached for so many years. He said, Paul, I get nervous every time. Because I'm about to tell people about the Lord and I sure don't want to say something wrong. And I want to say something that encourage them. He said, Paul, the time you stop getting nervous, that's the time you need to stop getting up. So I'm nervous this morning because I'm ready to preach and tell you about the Lord. But again, thank you so much. And my family got to come, so we're all excited about being here. Our theme this year for VBS is sharing and spreading the word. And all of us are here today because somebody had a part in teaching us. It might have been family. It might have been a Bible class teacher. It might have been some friends. I've had the opportunity and the privilege, as Tommy has, to baptize many people into the Lord's family. But we didn't do the teaching. Somebody else did. But what a privilege it is to have a part in somebody's life when they leave the darkness of sin and they enter the light of Jesus, as we just sang about. To see them be born again. To see them be raised from the waters of baptism to start their new life. Friends, life is short. James says it's like a vapor. We don't have much time to obey God's word, and we don't have much time to teach others about God's word and about being saved. When I look around here in my ears, I don't see Brother Lee here anymore. I don't see Brother Petty here anymore. I don't see Brother Sloan. Brother Sloan used to help me with my VBS singing. Where are they? Their life's vapor has gone out. They've gone to be with the Lord. But their lives still keep teaching. The things that they taught, the examples they set, others are following. The gospel's ready to be preached. People are out there to teach. The question for all of us, and that's what we're going to talk about during VBS, are you ready? And are you going to teach others about Jesus? Are you going to help lead them to salvation? Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if somebody brought you to the Lord who wasn't your, you know, they weren't your parents. It was a friend, or maybe a mate or a neighbor. Raise your hands. Look around and see how many people. That's over half the congregation here. You know why they led you? They looked at you and they saw somebody who was made in the image of God. They saw somebody who needed Jesus. They might have saw somebody who was like Cornelius, a good, devout, praying, gave his alms. But there were some things in their life they just hadn't been taught about what they needed to do to obey the Lord. They looked at somebody who they cared about spiritually. And those people were people who loved the Lord. They were obeying the command to teach others. Some of us were not very good prospects. Some of us surprised the world when we changed our lives. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's a list of people in Corinth. And look at some of the activities they were involved in. Many of these activities, maybe those some of us in past were. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 9. It talks about the unrighteous in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, effeminates, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. These people were involved in these ungodly activities, but they changed. Why did they change? Because somebody cared about them. Somebody didn't want them to end up in eternal destruction, but eternal life. And so somebody took the time to teach them what was right. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to spread the word of God. That's what a local church has to do to spread the word. They have to have love for those that are lost. That's what we're going to try to emphasize during VBS. We're going to talk about those things so we can get out into the world and change it. Are you ready to spread the word? We're going to talk about how can I do it? Where can I find prospects? What are some good things maybe a local church can do? Look at Acts 17 and verse 6. Here's a great verse. Look what the early Christians did in Acts 17 and in verse 6. Look what they did when they heard the gospel and the love they had for the Lord and for the lost. Acts 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are coming here too. Wouldn't it be something if it was said about the Concord Road Church, they're turning Concord upside down. Everywhere you go, you got somebody talking about the Lord. I tell you what, that Concord Church, did you see? They got construction going on. They got too many members. The building's not big enough. What in the world are they doing? I tell you what they're doing. They're teaching people about Jesus Christ. And it's turning the world. It's turning Concord upside down. It takes three main ingredients, you might say. Three main ideas to spread the gospel. The first one, it has to begin with teaching the saving message of Jesus. You got to teach people about Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Some of these things were mentioned. We're going to expound more in our Bible classes during VBS. But Acts 4 and verse 12, there is salvation and nothing else. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus who can save us, so we have to tell the story. We have to tell the story. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 35, in Acts chapter 8, And in verse 35, you have Philip and the eunuch here. And the eunuch's trying to find out about Jesus. He's trying to find out what he needs to do to be saved. And in verse 8, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what we have to begin with. We've got to teach people, so we're going to have to learn it ourselves, and then we're going to have to teach it on the day of Pentecost. We'll talk about that tonight in our class. The sermon, like we sometimes call the first gospel sermon, what does it start about? Talking about Jesus. That's what we have to do. People have to learn about Jesus. It has to be taught. We talk about his miracles. That was in the first gospel sermon. We talk about his love, his kindness, especially for the less fortunate. You look in the book of Proverbs. Yesterday during our teen day, we talked about being a wise guy. How to be a wise guy, you're going to have to learn what the book of Proverbs says. Throughout the book of Proverbs, you have all the wisdom. And I tell you what, throughout the book of Proverbs, over and over again, the writer says, you better be kind to the needy and the less fortunate. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And then in Matthew 26 and verse 28, we just had the Lord's Supper. But we need to make sure as we teach the story of Jesus in Matthew 26 and in verse 28 that people understand what was shed for our sins. What washes away our sins? Matthew 26, 28. This is my blood, Jesus says of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. To spread the word of God, it has to begin with telling others about Jesus. And that's why we have Bible classes from a young age, old age. The things that you've learned. If you're a Christian today, you know enough to teach somebody else. You might not understand all the things you need to know. We'll never learn all those things. But you have to teach them the story of Jesus. And then it demands a decision. Because look in Romans 1:16. What does it say about this message you're going to give to people? It demands a decision. Because a decision is going to be made. Because Romans 1:16, Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's powerful. And you have to make a decision. Do you believe it? Or you don't believe it? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believed it. They asked the question, what should we do? That's what you want somebody to ask you. What should I do? Well, let's find out what you should do. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 38, what were they told to do? These people, some of them literally did crucify Jesus. They said, what should we do? They were told, as believers, you better repent and you better be baptized. Why? To have your old life washed away. Why? So you can put on Christ. Why? You can start your new life. Why? So you can be added to the family. All that follows. And then you'll have a hope of a home in heaven. Is it easy? Is it easy to do that? No, it's not. Sometimes you'll be the first one in your family to ever do it. Sometimes it'll be a lot different than what your grandmother did, what your mother and daddy did. A lot of times people say it's easy to become a Christian. Just step down the aisle and walk down front. It's easy. I tell you what, it wasn't easy for me. I started attending services at 12th Street. Every time Mr. Bassett gave the invitation, after a few months I'd been there, I was a sophomore in college, my stomach started feeling funny. So finally this one Sunday morning, I said, I'm going down the aisle. Number 496 in the old psalm books, God is calling the prodigal son. I didn't even know what a prodigal son was, but that was me, buddy. And I said, I'm going. I'm going quick. I ain't waiting till the third or fourth verse because I won't go. So he started going. Nah, I started. Right next to me was a couple that was, you know, some of our, you know, been married a few years. She was 10 months expecting. So I kind of give her a little nudge, and she nudged a little bit about this much room I had. I said, how am I going to get by her? So fine, I know, you're just a college guy. You don't know much about pregnancies and stuff, and I was afraid to touch it in case I might hurt the baby. But I wanted to get down the aisle. And everyone says, oh, it's so easy to get down. So I put my hand on her tummy just a little bit. I'm sorry, ladies, but I didn't know what to do. I went like this. So she went, oh, Paul's going forward. So she kind of moved and fell back and did this. I got by her. Now her dumb husband's beside her. He's singing and she's elbowing him. He goes, don't elbow me. Paul what? Paul wants to go down the aisle. What for? So finally she goes, he's going to get baptized. So now Leonard goes. So now I go down the aisle and I start. Now it's about the third verse. My legs are wobbling and everything. And I get to the front. And I remember making the confession. 450 people were there that morning. And really, I knew very few of them 3 or 4 months before. And when it was all over, I'd never been hugged by so many people. Some people were crying. And I didn't know why. I tell you, that was the first time I'd ever seen anyone be baptized, and it was me. All that. Sometimes I look back and say, the devil did everything he could to make me stop me from going down the aisle. It's not easy. But when it's all over, it's a great feeling. But it all started because people told me the story of Jesus. And that's where it all begins. And if we're going to teach people, then we're going to have to teach them Jesus. So then after we teach them Jesus, then we need to teach them something else. You now are an ambassador for Christ. You represent Jesus here. You know, an ambassador for the United States in China. They represent the United States in China or in Russia. They speak for the country. And they act in a way that says that's how Americans act. That's what an ambassador for Christ is. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 now. And in verse 20, here's what it says, 2 Corinthians 5. And in verse 20, here's what it says. For now we've been raised from the waters of baptism. What's the second thing now it's going to take? We know the story. Now we got to realize we're ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. He's not on earth. We're here. We're to teach people. The top priority for us is to teach the Word of God. The apostles, they were left. In fact, they were asked, remember in Acts chapter 6, they were asked to wait on tables. And they said, look, we don't have time to wait on tables. Choose 7 men because we can't leave the Word of God. We've got to keep teaching people. Philip and the eunuch, it's interesting. In Acts chapter 8, where we just were, it says that when it came time for Philip to teach the eunuch, you know what it said he did? He ran. Hey, there's somebody who wants to hear. He ran to him. Why? Because he was an ambassador. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Here's what it tells us to do. This is what an ambassador does. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, now you're going to get out and preach. Here's what I want you to tell people. The things that you've heard from me, Paul, you told Timothy. Now, Timothy, you commit those to faithful men who can teach others. Paul, you teach Timothy. Timothy, you teach here, and then he teaches here, and on and on and on. And our reading this morning was, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the glad tidings. I don't want you to peek down, but just think, how pretty are your feet? How beautiful. And I tell you what, some of the physically ugliest feet, they got some pretty feet. I bet you Tommy's feet, I don't want to look at them, but I bet you they're beautiful spiritually. How beautiful are the feet? And even Stephen at his death, being stoned to death, he kept on preaching. When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Just like the Lord. You look at the similarities between Stephen's death and Jesus' death. A lot of similarities. You're an ambassador when you're raised from the waters, and you'll be an ambassador till your deathbed. Keep on teaching. We need to realize Jesus is calling all of us. Tell the story. You're an ambassador. And then the third thing you have to have is you have to have zeal and wisdom. And you have to have a few methods when you get out there to teach somebody. Look at all the friends we have. And we need to ask, how can I teach them? How can I teach them? And there's all different approaches, because some friends are quiet, some are loud, some are funny, some sad times, joyful times. The different ages that you teach them. I had a college roommate once, one of my college roommates, and he'd been coming to services with us and so forth, and we're getting ready to fly to a football game to Michigan. He'd never been on an airplane, just a good old country boy, never been on one. So before we're getting ready to go to bed, it was a Thursday night, I said to him, I said, buddy, I said, you know, if the plane crashes, you know we're going to two different places. Now, I don't recommend you say that unless he's your buddy. But he was my buddy, and he was there. He goes, what do you mean? I said, now, you've been going to services long enough. You know, I heard your questions. I just want you to know that. He goes, okay. So we turn the lights off. About 12 o'clock, lights go on. He's in his closet. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting baptized right now. So we went, I said, turn off, there we go. We went off to the church building and got them baptized. Different friends, and you have different approaches. You might hand them a tract. You might hand them a CD. You might invite them to services. And when you invite them to services, you have to make it like it's a fun place. You can't say, hey, would you like to come to services? They start at 9:30. Yeah, you can come a little late. Everybody else does come a little late. You know, one time I was at a place and this preacher told me, when I was preaching in Nashville, we had about 350 members. There would be half there and about 20 minutes later, the other half would come. So the old preacher told me one time, he said, Paul, always start your sermon off with some positive point. So I got up there and I said, I tell you what, it's good to be here. This is the earliest y'all ever been late. That didn't go over too good. What was I talking about? I lost my train of thought, Tommy. What was I talking about? Oh, inviting. Yeah, so you got to make it sound interesting. Would you like? It ends. It goes pretty fast. Now, hey, would you like to come to services? Start at 9:30. We got a great Bible class. We've been studying this, and we're talking about the Lord. And I tell you what, then the preaching. Wait till you hear the singing. You've never heard singing. It goes so fast. And after we get something to eat, if you want, it's really going to be fun. I really think you'll like it. You know, make it sound interesting. So you invite them. Every congregation has a responsibility. They have some things. VBS is a good way to spread the word. A gospel meeting, a singing, a special weekend get together. And, of course, online you can listen to sermons and you can get a tape and all those things that you can do. You support preachers in other places that spread the gospel. When I was in Salt Lake City, when I was in Canada preaching in Nevada, the church here helped me. And so what I'm saying, there's lots of things we can do. But you got to adapt to the individuals. When I preach in Canada, I preach in Canada last month. I tell different stories in Canada. I don't talk about going to Washington. I talk about going to Ottawa. That's our capital. I don't talk too much about football. I talk about ice hockey. And I tell you what, when we talk about food, I talk about putting gravy on my French fries. That's how you eat them right. We put gravy on our French fries. They're good. That's what they want to hear. And when you're friends, you got to adapt the message to your friends. But the message is still what? Jesus Christ. He loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. Always look for opportunities. And we're going to talk about that, where they are out there. There's no greater news than to tell somebody the news of Jesus. There's no greater destruction you can help somebody stay away from than the message they'll stay away from hell. There's no greater blessing than to receive the forgiveness of sins, and there's no greater hope you can give somebody than the hope of heaven. Life's going fast. One day we're going to breathe our last breath. Time is short. It's time to spread the gospel. So for the tonight, throughout the rest of the week, we're going to talk about how to teach people. Where do you teach them? What are some things I can do? And just encourage people to learn about the Lord. Do y'all still have that share night, Tommy? Do y'all still do that? Y'all have a share night? I've never participated in a share night, so I'm going to have my own share night right now. I want to share with you probably one of the most beautiful, touching, spiritual times that I had in my preaching career. I hadn't preached very long, maybe a year or so, and I went to hold a meeting in Tampa, Florida, where Brother James Cope was this preacher. It was a Friday night at the end of the week, and it was hot. It was in July, in August, end of August. And Brother Cope said, Paul, I'm not going to be there Friday night. He said, so you just take care of the host service. I got to fill in for somebody who's sick in town holding the meeting. I said, Brother Cole, what about if someone comes forward? He said, well, you can handle it. I said, I've only baptized one guy, and I had a lot of help. He said, but oh, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. That Friday night, the building sat about 150, 60 people. There was over 200 people there that Friday night, a lot of college kids. It was about 90 degrees. It was hot. We had to put chairs out. There was everybody was, every seat was taken. I got to the end of my lesson. I said, if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now while we stand and sing? And I hate to say this, but I kind of put my head down. Here they came. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 came forward. And there wasn't anywhere for them to go because every seat was taken. Excuse me. It was like me getting baptized. Excuse me. Excuse me. They all kind of sat, stood, and then they all, you know, people kind of pushed back. 12 people came and were sitting on the front. I went, what am I going to do? So I felt like a waiter. I said, and what would you like? One baptism. You want to be, you want to confess your sins? Okay, you, another baptism. Eight baptisms, or sorry, seven baptisms, and five wanted to be, have prayers for them. So I said, well, you know, we got their confessions, and I told the other ones, well, get your confessions. We only had two garments, his and hers. Guys went there, and the girls went there. Well, I'm back in here putting my waders on. I got my waders on. Someone knocks on the door. I open the door and I said, what do you want? He said, a lady just came forward. She's sitting on the front pew. I said, what does she want? He said, I think she wants to get baptized. I said, tell her we're closed till Sunday. No, I didn't. I went out. I said, they were singing some songs, so she wanted. So here we got eight people. I got in the water, had my waders on. One girl would come in, and I'd baptize her and raise her up, and she'd go, and then the boy would come in, and people were singing. Grandmothers were crying. Roommates were crying. Everybody was hugging. I was crying the most. Oh, help me, please, you know. It was about 10 o'clock when we got out of there. Eight people were baptized into the Lord. Five came back to the Lord. Never had a night like that ever. I guess the Lord said, Paul, you need one of these. So you know it can happen. And I want you to know it can happen. Even if it's only one soul. It's a joy to be able to help. So that's what we're talking about. I want you to try to have that joy. I hope you get to have 14 come forward. And I hope it's your first lesson. And all I can smile and say, I know what you're doing. You can do it. I did it. I want you to be able to feel that. It's a great feeling. There's friends and family members and strangers out there that need to hear the gospel. So our prayer for all of us is we'll be fishers of men. We'll have beautiful feet, and we'll take the message to those that are lost. And if you're not a Christian today, we'd love to see you do what the Lord wants you to do. We hope you've asked the question, what should I do? As a believer, you need to repent and be baptized. Why? To have your sins washed away. Be raised to start your new life. You have a new family now. We're going to encourage you around the world. You have brothers and sisters trying to help you serve the Lord. And if you're a child of God and you haven't been teaching people like you should, you tell the Lord you're sorry. And you say, you know what? I'm going to start being an ambassador. I'm going to look for prosperous. I'm going to be at VBS this week so I can learn some things and just be encouraged on how to teach people what they need to do. And if we can help anybody to get their life right in any way, we'd love to. Right now, while we stand in